The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. We're going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine. This one is about expert tips for staying in your home. Install grab bars on the shower wall, swap doorknobs for lever handles, and move a bedroom downstairs. AARP and Lowe's team to transform your home. You want to be ready for life's changes, and they can help. Older Americans tell AARP in overwhelming numbers that they want to stay in their current homes and communities as long as possible. Trouble is, many American homes weren't made with the needs of older residents in mind. To meet those needs, many homes will first have to be modified and updated so they can be places where older people are comfortable and safe, where children can move easily, can more easily take care of their aging parents. AARP intends to help. The organization is collaborating with Lowe's Home Improvement Chain on Lowe's Livable Home, an initiative designed to educate Americans about the steps they can take to help make sure their home accommodates them and their family at any age. The Lowe's Livable Home Hub on their website features articles and videos to assist those thinking about home improvement projects that will make aging in place easier. The timing is crucial. The U.S. Census Bureau estimates that the 65 and older population grew by roughly 34% in the decade from 2010 to 2019, and America's housing must adapt. We know that very few of us are in a home that's ideal for aging, says Rodney Harrell, AARP Vice President of Family, Home, and Community. We are working together to get key information to people so that we can help them make the best decisions for themselves and their families. The goal, according to Harrell, is to pursue gradual improvements, easy weekend projects, and upgrades, in addition to major renovations when needed. AARP will also work with Lowe's associates to teach practical skills to support customers who are looking to improve their home. These associates will wear AARP-branded pins so customers know whom to ask about age-friendly options. Those efforts are underway in more than 50 metro areas and will expand throughout this year. Together, we want to make it easy for people of all ages by providing the information and inspiration across a range of projects and budgets, says Helena Poda, AARP Director of Strategic Relationships. Next article, How We're Fighting for You, AARP Takes on Fraud. Whether it's by phone calls, emails, texts, social media posts, or a knock on the door, criminal fraud is invading older Americans' homes and lives. And there's a reason why it's growing. The criminals are winning. Americans lose billions of dollars to fraud every year, and law enforcement is challenged to curtail an illegal industry that is increasingly international and quick to evolve. That's why AARP has elevated the fight against fraud to one of its primary social mission goals. Through our Fraud Watch network, we're working daily to help you navigate the treacherous world of scams. Here's a summary of some of our efforts for 2022. Education and outreach. AARP offers lots of fraud-fighting help, including our biweekly watchdog alerts, our podcast, The Perfect Scam, our website with the latest fraud news and information, the Fraud Watch Network, and virtual educational sessions at the national and state levels. Trained specialists with the AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline answered more than 90,000 calls in 2021 from people who were dealing with scammers. Emotional support. We launched a pilot victim support program in 2021. aarp.org/fraud support. This provides a way for fraud victims and their families to begin healing emotionally, and we've extended it to 2022. Targeting gift card abuse. The Fraud Watch Network launched a campaign in 2021 to grow awareness of an increasingly common and successful method scammers use to receive your money through gift cards. Changing the victim vocabulary. No fraud victim should be made to feel worse by hearing "you should have known better." The Fraud Watch Network has teamed up with the FINRA Foundation and Heart Plus Mind Strategies on a multi-year campaign to shift the focus to those committing the crime. This article was by Kathy Stokes, who's director of the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And here's a little sidebar article. Here's the helpline for the Fraud Watch. Call our specialist toll-free to ask questions or report a fraud Monday through Friday, 877-908-3360. Scam Tracking Map. Find fraud happening in your area. Visit aarp.org/scammap. That's with two M's. S-C-A-M-M-A-P. And finally, Fraud Watch Network Online. Get up-to-date information on the latest scams at aarp.org/FraudWatchNetwork. Now, a few more tips from AARP The Bulletin, Beat the System. Let's talk about landscaping today. Finding the best landscaper. Labor shortages are just the start of the challenges for landscapers these days. There's also a low supply of some trees, garden plants, landscaping materials, fertilizers, and even lawn equipment. This pushes up lead time and costs. There are even too few truck drivers to deliver it all, notes Brick Wood, CEO of the National Association of Landscape Professionals. Here's how to find a great landscaper in these unusual times. Get honest about the budget. Being well informed about the challenges and costs landscapers are facing makes you an attractive customer. Contractors want to work with clients who understand the value and are willing to pay the market rate for quality landscape projects. Ask about substitutes. 65% of landscape professionals said in a recent survey that they expect plant shortages to continue into 2023. A savvy landscaper can recommend smart substitutes with similar look that will thrive in the conditions in your yard. Decide how much work you can do. If you're an avid gardener, see if your landscaper candidate would handle just the heavy lifting, like installing boulders and irrigation and doing the more challenging plantings. Then you can dig in to do the detail work. That could shorten the project's time span, which might be a factor for the landscaper. Walk the neighborhood. If you see homeowners with a landscape you admire, it's likely they'll love talking about the landscaper they used and what the project entailed. Credentials matter. A reminder, there's a big difference between a gardening service that mostly just mows, edges, and weeds, and a landscaper who is trained, certified, and expert at creating beautiful spaces. The best landscapers belong to a national or state association, and their crew members have certifications. Their top employees also should have several years of experience. Now, on to finding the best painter. A good paint job has always taken time, but now add the time spent waiting to start. I would say the work backlog is the longest I have seen since I started in this industry in 2008, says Emily Howard, editor-in-chief of American Painting Contractor magazine. These days, many painters are scheduled months in advance, she says. Here's how to get a jump on the work. Get paint store referrals. Ask store employees and managers whom they recommend. says Jason Paris, owner of Paris Painting in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. This also gives you a name to drop when contacting a painter. Referrals can help move you to the top of the list for getting a quote. Then look for a standard operating procedure. The best painters have set routines that result in repeatable quality, says Mike Muldwilder, end user product experience manager for Benjamin Moore and Company. Top-notch painters will proudly detail how they prepare surfaces, be it power washing, scraping, or even replacing wood. Look for those details in the proposal or the estimate. Then check their online presence. Serious paint businesses often have websites that feature photos of their finished jobs. And check their social media presence. Painters who are active on social media aren't afraid of commitments or comments, Mudweller says. And finally, be flexible. A painter may be able to fit you in sooner if you can make your home available on short notice, should another job fall through, or even on weekends, Paris says. Now, how about a little more information on the Complete Guide to Your Memory? This is from Centennial Health Magazine. We're going to continue an article that we've been reading. We're now in search of simpler times. In the face of a raging pandemic, political turmoil, relational discord, and yo-yo financial markets, it's easy to see nostalgia's furious popularity as evidence that we refuse to engage with current-day calamities. What psychologists are reporting, however, is something more intriguing and nuanced. We delve into the past precisely so that we can feel grounded enough to face up to the challenges of the present. In anchoring us in our own history, nostalgia helps to create a consistent sense of identity, which is the stabilizing force we need to face problems, whether personal or global. For example, in the context of an abusive relationship, a survivor can internalize what the abuser is doing, said the psychologist Christine Baccio of Lemoyne College. They come to the conclusion, I'm not worthy of being loved. But looking back on happier times can flip this damaging script. When they reminisce, she continues, they can say, wait a minute. There were people who treated me with respect and dignity. This helps to explain why dipping into nostalgic memories helps people feel a stronger sense of belonging and more belief in their own potential. Nostalgia, says Andrew Ibeta, a psychologist at Rutgers University, makes people more optimistic in a broad sense that things are going to work out for them. This optimism is heightened because most of us are more likely to dredge up positive memories from the past than negative ones, a bias psychologists call the Pollyanna principle. When people tell nostalgic stories, according to a report from the University of Southampton in England, they use more optimistic phrases than in stories they tell about everyday events. This rosy view of the past helps to balance out the corrosive snap judgments that pile up in everyday life. If your supervisor stuns you with a poor performance report, your brain will likely fire off a volley of negative thoughts. I'm not good enough, or I'm such a screw-up. But if your mind turns back to other times, when you were acing work assignments and felt more capable, these memories can offset the self-doubt you're battling in the present. There's biological evidence for this balancing effect. A brain study from North Dakota State University showed that nostalgic detours appear to soften the perceived sharp edges of negative events. Nostalgia also spurs us to rally other people around us in ways that bolster our health and well-being. In one study, Ibeta and his colleagues asked some people to bring a nostalgic memory to mind and others to reflect on an everyday event. Those in the nostalgic memory group were more often reported wanting to get close to other people afterwards. Most likely, Ibeta says, this is because revisiting old memories reminds us of times when we felt fulfilled in the company of others and such memories help us believe that we can reach similar social pinnacles in the future. One way we, as psychologists, try to promote self-confidence is by creating experiences where people can see themselves succeed. People are bringing to mind these very successful, special relationships. You know, I have had success in this social domain. This kind of insight can make us bold enough to weave a social safety net that keeps loneliness and failing health at bay. More crucially, nostalgia appears to offer people a foothold when they have few remaining rungs to stand on. In a new dementia treatment called reminisce therapy, therapists use prompts such as photos, objects, or music tracks to trigger conversations and reflections about a person's deepest memories. A review of reminiscent therapy studies found that this approach had positive effects on clients' cognitive performance, communication skills, and mood, although its authors from Bangor University in Wales stressed the need for controlled trials of the therapy. Whether our memories stretch back 80 years or just a decade or two, the episodes that resurface serve as a sort of Rorschach test, revealing that what we value and the kinds of experiences we cherish. If you like to recall Chuck E. Cheese birthday parties, you likely prize the security of a big, gregarious community. While memories of making chalk drawings with your best friend hint at a desire for deeper, more sustained bonds. Experiences are not just what happened to us, writes Becho. They are the raw material we use in shaping our identity, ourself. Nostalgia, then, is a means of reclaiming that raw material, making intimate contact with it as though sinking our hands into clay. This primal contact with what animates us can help to fuel belief in the significance of our lives. When Clay Routledge, a behavioral scientist at North Dakota State University, and colleagues ask college students to reminisce about a nostalgic memory or to think about a desired future event, members of the nostalgia group were most likely to report that their lives were rich with meaning. Still, it can be challenging to trace a clear path from certain nostalgic object in all their ordinary frivolous consumerist glory to the profound sense of meaning the research describes. It seems straightforward that when I pull down an old yearbook complete with photos, captions, and inscriptions, I'm reviving memories of a whole world I left behind. But a nostalgic obsession with Donkey Kong or the My Little Pony stable might seem to have less to do with essential aspects of the self. However, as is well understood, each point of nostalgic reference, whether a smell, a product, or a snippet of song, conjures up an inner world unto itself, exquisitely rich in detail. The chorus to Deep Purple's Smoke on the Water from 1972, or the Cabbage Patch Kid with a heart marker scrawled on its cheek, is pure synecdoche. It is a fragment that stands in for the entire vanishing universe that surrounded it, the characters that peopled it, the beliefs that suffused it, the emotions that pervaded it. Just as Proust's Madeline ushered him into his own lost world, a corn muffin or Johnny Cake propels me into the landscape of upstate New York, as I experienced it age 4, swinging my legs at the counter of Howard Johnson's restaurant while my dad ordered corn toasties for breakfast. It's not the object of nostalgia that's important in and of itself. It's that it serves as a conduit to realms of thought and emotion we can't always access without it. In evoking security, self-assurance, and a sense of meaning, nostalgia sets the stage for profound personal growth, a willingness to venture beyond our physical and psychological borders. Fortified by the knowledge that we can return to our inner childhood memories when we need to, we're better equipped to push our borders outward or to topple them entirely. To test this theory, the psychologists Matt Baldwin and Mark Landau at the University of Kansas asked people to think about a past event that provoked nostalgia. They then tested how much those nostalgizers agreed with statements such as, "I am the kind of person who embraces unfamiliar people, events, and places." The researchers found that subjects in the nostalgia group had a stronger sense of belonging and more belief in their own potential. Nostalgia, they wrote, serves as a psychological resource that maintains and recycles, through memories of actual events, the distinct positive emotions that broaden and build thought action possibilities. This is a somewhat lengthy article, so we're going to pause here and continue with it next time. Now let's go back to AARP, the bulletin, and finish out our section on the 2022 Consumer Guide Expert Edition. Finding the best auto repair shop. Car repair and collision businesses need nearly five times more new technicians than are currently getting trained, experts say. At the same time, consumer demand for their skills is rising as owners hold on to their wheels longer, says Bob Redding, Washington, D.C. representative for the Automotive Service Association. To find a shop you can rely on, do real-life tests. Pre-screen different shops by bringing your car in for basic service, like an oil change or tire rotation. Then, keep going back to your top choice and work to build a good professional relationship. Look for the three C's. 1. Confidence. Do they seem properly trained, organized, and consistent in the way they do business? Do they clearly describe what they will do? 2. Cost. Do they seem reasonable compared with others? Make sure they offer estimates in writing. And 3. Convenience. Are they near your home or office? Neatness counts. Look for a shop that's clean and organized each morning. This indicates a culture of high expectations. And look for active training. The shop should be certified by a trade group like the National Institute for Automotive Service Excellence, Blue Seal Approval. If they participate in the Motorist Assurance Program of the Automotive Maintenance and Repair Association, they are likely in the top 20% of shops. Money. Finding the best financial advisor. Who hasn't had a moment of financial unease since the pandemic started? The best financial advisor today doesn't just help you achieve your goals, but also keeps you calm. Look for fee-only advisors, recommends Micah Hopton, Director of Investor Protection at the Consumer Federation of America. That means the only person paying them is you. Fee-based advisors may be compensated by companies whose financial products you buy, giving them an incentive to sell investments that might not be best for you. Don't fixate on exotic credentials. Some are worthwhile, such as the CFP, Certified Financial Planner designation. More importantly, find an expert who has deep experience in handling your specific needs. Consult your network. The best recommendation is from an expert you already trust, like a lawyer or accountant. Ask friends and family who have worked with an advisor for many years for that person's name. If those avenues don't work, look for a practitioner listings on trade organization websites like NAPFA.org, PlannersSearch.org, or LetsMakeAPlan.org. Explore the pros past. Make sure the person's record is clean. Start with the industry's BrokerCheck tool at BrokerCheck.finra.org. But also ask how he or she guides clients through the 2008 and 2020 market drops. Finding the best lawyer. If you need legal help, you're likely want to move fast, but don't hire too fast because it pays to slow down and do some digging. Ask other lawyers. Online directories or top lawyer supplements in local publications can be gamed, and attorneys may have paid to be profiled. Instead, Ask around for recommendations from friends, family, and business professionals, real estate agents and accountants, for example. If you trust an attorney you've used for a different matter, ask for a recommendation. Lawyers think twice before they suggest anyone because it puts their practice on the line. Seek relevant experience. You want a lawyer who has handled problems like yours multiple times. Ideally, that means at least 15 or 20 prior cases. Grill your candidates. Get an in-person meet and greet. Consultations are usually free, but check. A key test. You should never walk out confused. Part of effective lawyering is knowing your audience and speaking their language. And finally, get references. It's perfectly reasonable to ask attorneys for past clients to speak with. Talking to their most recent clients is best. And finally, finding the best bank. If you are paying any fees, you should look at other banks, said bank rate analyst Matthew Goldberg. Banks are eliminating many charges. Here's how to search if you've been dinged lately. Be honest about what you need. What specific financial services and transactions do you really want and use in a bank? Focus on that. A tool at findabetterbank.com allows you to search for a bank based on features you classify as must-have, nice-to-have, or don't-need. Focus on convenience. The measure of a great bank is that it makes your life easier, and that can be different for each of us. If you like to bank in person, is there a branch near you that matches your hours? If you travel a lot, must you pay ATM fees? Branch out if necessary. Often having two banks makes sense. Just be sure to meet minimum balance requirements at both institutions to avoid fees. And that's the end of this section. Now there's time for just one or two more of our ways to save money, 99, and we're on number 78, dental. Take advantage of your dentist's membership plan. No dental insurance? Dental practice membership plans may give you a set number of cleanings, exams, and x-rays for a discounted annual fee, plus a discount on fillings and other services. You could save $100 a year or more over the price of routine care. Your dentist may also be more inclined to negotiate more expensive procedures. Well, folks, we have reached the end of our time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.